All right, tonight Brother David's going to put it up for us, but we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 24 through 31. This is kind of a lengthy passage of Scripture, but it shares with us what God said and did on day 6. Now, we have looked at these verses already in previous messages on Genesis. But we've been taking Wednesday evenings to look specifically a little bit deeper at each one of these days. And so I definitely want to spend some more time tonight looking at what God's Word reveals to us about day 6 of His creation week. And truly, there are just many, many more truths to mine from these verses and this passage of Scripture concerning what God did on day 6. Now, you remember last week we were looking at day 5, and we saw how on day 5 God did something very unique and very different from anything else He had did in that creation week. God created something unique and different on day 5. He created conscious life. He created living, moving creatures to fill the skies, to fill the seas. And we talked about that last week, about how God speaks life, how God creates life, how God blesses life, and how the life that He created on day 5, the fish and the fowls of the air, was very different from the life that was created on day 3. There's a difference between organic life and conscious life. And so, as we talked about that last week, now on day 6, God turns His attention now to the land. He's filled the skies. He's filled the seas. Now He turns His attention to the land on day 6 and proceeds to fill it with living creatures as well. But on day 6, He creates not just animal life, but He also creates human life to fill the earth and the land. Now, there are many similarities between animal life and human life, but there are very distinct differences between animals and humans. Now, we know evolutionary theory. It declares that all life began from just this simple life form, and over millions of years and many mutations and evolving molecules eventually became monkeys, and monkeys eventually became men. It just took, you know, a few million of years for all of those changes to take place. We've also talked about theistic evolution. Now, what that is just simply man's attempt to make God's Word compatible with this scientific theory or dogma that it takes millions of years for us to be formed and exist. Basically, theistic evolutionists just simply declare, yes, we believe God created everything, but God created everything through this process of evolution. So, to believe in evolution is to reject what God's Word has to say about creation of life and animals and humans. Theistic evolution or evolutionists is just simply a compromise. It's just a compromise of what God's Word has to say. But folks, as we see clearly in our text this evening, God's Word declares, God's Word reveals that God specifically, uniquely, and He distinctly created animal life to fill the earth as well as human life on day 6. There are similarities, the Word of God reveals that, but there are also very distinct differences. On day 5, He did something very unique, very different. He created conscious life, living, moving creatures, birds and fish. He continued that and incorporated that conscious life in the creation of animals on day 6. But on day six, he also did something very unique, very different. He created not just conscious beings, but he created man in his own image. And so there's similarities, but there's a world of difference between animal life and all human life. And so I want you to notice tonight, we're going to break our text down and to see what the Holy Spirit of God precisely writes and reveals to us about God's creation of animal life and God's creation of human life. First two verses of our text, verse 24 and verse 25, tells us about how God created animal life, all animal life, on day six. Verse 24 and 25 says this, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Now notice there are three statements that stand out in these two verses, very similar to what we saw last week in the previous verses when it was talking about day five. We find these phrases, "and God said," and then we find the phrase, "and God made," and then we find the phrase, "and God saw that it was good." Now each one of these phrases calls attention to a specific aspect of God's creation of human life. These two verses literally speak to us about the composition of animal life, the construction of animal life, and the classifications of animal life. Look what it said there again in verse 24. Look at that phrase. "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so." There's that phrase again. We saw it on day five in the King James Version. "Let the earth bring forth," or "let the waters bring forth." Here we see, "let the earth bring forth this living creature." Now, it's interesting, in the English Standard Version that we compared last week's verses to, the translation is the same. "Let the earth bring forth these living creatures." You see, they were made from the earth. God brought these animals and animal life into existence. They were literally composed of the earth. They were made out of these elements that God had already created and formed the earth with. They were literally made from earth. They were made from dirt. Just like man, as we saw last Sunday or Sunday before last, God formed man in chapter 2. He tells us from the dust of the earth. The Bible tells us and goes on to reveal in chapter 3 how the animals and man and our bodies, what is it? It all returns to dust. Why? Because of sin, because of the curse of sin, because of decay and death that entered into creation, because of the curse of sin. So animals are composed of the same things that humans are composed of. God used these materials, the dust of the earth. So there's going to be similarities between animal life and human life. See, when you look at this truth and you look at it from an evolutionary viewpoint, from an evolutionary worldview, and you look at this truth, and you read about scientists who have discovered and now that, you know, 98% of the DNA of the monkey is the exact same as that of human beings. See, when you look at those kinds of scientific discoveries and observations and state, when you look at that from an evolutionary viewpoint, The only deduction is, well, see, there it is, plain as the nose on your face. Man just evolved in monkeys. There's 2% difference between us and monkeys. We're evolved from monkeys. But see, now if you look at that same evidence, if you look at that same truth from a biblical worldview, if you look at it through the lens of Scripture, if you look at it through the lens of faith in God who created us, here's what you deduce. God used the same thing when He made us, and the 2% difference is a world of difference. See, it all depends on what lens you're viewing the information through. And so God's Word speaks to us about the composition of animal life. Yeah, we're very similar to the animals. But it also speaks to us about the construction of human life. Look what He went on to say in verse 25. Here's this other phrase. And God made the beast of the earth after His kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after His kind. So now we come to this Hebrew word that is translated made. And it's the word that, one of the words that we discussed last week as well. This word, translate made, it means to make something, to create something out of things that previously already are in existence. It's different from the word that's translated create that is attributed only to God. We find that word on day one. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word there, it means to create something when there was previously nothing. To bring something into existence that never had any existence. It's the same word used on day five when it says God created these fish and these fowl, these living, moving creatures that swarmed in the waters, that flew in the sky. It is the same word that God uses in verse on day six, when it comes to His creation of man. He makes something uniquely different that never before previously existed. But here, it's telling us God constructed these animals. He spoke them into existence. He made them out of the earth. They were brought forth out of the earth. They were constructed by God. It was conscious life, just like that life on day five. All of that was incorporated here when He made the animals, just like He made the fish and the fowls. But again, if you approach this truth of animal life being constructed from an evolutionary view, then here's how you're going to look at life and animal life and the things that are. You're going to see it as a mechanical. You're going to see life as through evolutionary processes, natural selection, survival of the fittest, creations of chance and random mutations. But if you look at this through the lens of Scripture, if you look at this through the eyes of faith in God, what you see is the loving touch, the loving personal touch and hand of the Creator at work when He constructed all these many different types of animals to fill the earth. We talked about last week, His eye is on the sparrow. He feeds them. He cares for them. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus talked about He sees every sparrow that falls. He feeds them. Listen, God loves and cares for them. Not like He loves and cares for us, but He loves and He cares for the animals that He created. He provides for them. A lot different from evolutionists who says it's the best one that wins out. It's the strongest one that wins out. It's the one with the best mutation that finally makes it. It's all impersonal. It's all mechanical. But God tells us in His Word, He composed animal life. He constructed animal life. He made it. And in verse 24 and verse 25, he also points out the classifications of animal life. In fact, it's repeated twice. Let's read the verses again. And God said, let the earth bring forth what? The living creature after his kind. What kind? Cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Now, he says it again, verse 25. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And then what does it say? And God saw it was good. You see, twice it's repeated here. God has composed them, God has constructed them, and he made them in three great classifications or categories. He made living, moving creatures, and they're categorized as cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth. And again, we see within it over and over, they were all after his kind. God's programmed these different animals to reproduce after their kind. Now think about the categories. These are broad categories. I mean, if we were to go to textbooks and look at the classifications, we'd see all kinds of classifications of animal life. We'd see thousands and thousands of the different species of animal life. God just simply places them in three simple, very broad categories. The first is the category of cattle. It's a broad term. We think of things like cows, sheep. We think of animals like that. But this term, it involves all kinds of animals that serve man, domesticated animals and animal life. It even incorporates all the animals that have, let's say, normal associations with humans. It incorporates our pets, all of that, animals that serve us. That's the classification that we're looking at here. Now see, there's a difference between the fowl that flies and the animal and the cattle. See, we make pets out of birds. You know that. You also notice we have to keep them in cages because they will fly away. A dog knows the hand that feeds it. Mine won't stay out in the yard very long. He always knows when it's time to come back in. See, there's a difference. Cattle, animals that serve man, domesticated by man, that are in normal associations with man. But then there's this other category, creeping things. Now, this is what would entail what I would call those things that surprise us. Creeping things. Scampering thing. Oh, the scientists or the biologists or whatever would categorize, oh, you got your amphibians, you got your reptiles, you got your rodents and your varmints and your insects and your spiders and all of those things. Those are the things that we're talking about. Creeping things. Things that surprise us. Things that we make traps for. That we buy snares for. That we buy sprays for, that we pay Ledford's termite and pest control to come and spray our house for because our wives are so scared of them. They're creeping things, things that surprise us. Although there are some humans who like to make pets of these things. I'll never forget reading the article one time of a man who was just devastated. His wife had been eaten by a python. He could not understand it. They had raised that snake. They had fed that snake. They had cared for that snake. They slept with that snake. And I'm thinking, duh. There's some animals you can't make pets of. That's why we have exotic pet stores for idiotic people. Creeping things. But then God tells us in His Word, there's another category. They're called the beast of the earth. Now this would entail all the animals that we would say scare us. Lions, bears, big, huge beasts. Folks, even in the time of Adam, when the world was perfect and there was no violence and there was no carnivorous beast, there were certain beasts that just didn't naturally curl up with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They were beasts. They just don't naturally associate with man. They didn't have any conflict or problem with man, but they were different from those cattle that serve man, those creeping things. They were beasts, most of them very large, huge. When God gives His discourse to Job, and He's talking to Job, He mentions some things to Job. He mentions the lion. He mentions the wild goat. He mentions the wild donkey. He talks about the ostriches. See, these are all kinds of animals that Job would be familiar with, but Job didn't own his cattle, and Job didn't have his pets around the house. They were beasts of the earth. Now, evolutionists, they look at the fossil record and they make this deduction. Well, see these big old lizards, these big old dinosaur things. Man didn't live in the time of the dinosaurs. But when you look at God's Word through the Scriptures, there's ample evidence from God's revelation that man and dinosaurs did exist together. We talked about it last week. God made the whales. Hebrew word, sea monsters. He described Leviathan to Job in Job chapter 41. A great sea monster, a great creature that God had created. In Job chapter 40, Job discusses another great creature. He's called the behemoth. Now, I want to read that passage to you in Job chapter 40, verse 15 through 24. I'm just going to read it quickly. David's not going to put it up there. Listen. Behold, behemoth, which I made as I made you. He eats grass like an ox. Behold, his strength is in his loins, and his power in the muscles of his belly. He makes his tail stiff like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are knit together. His bones are tubes of bronze. His limbs like bars of iron. He is the first of the works of God. Let him who made him bring near his sword. For the mountains yield food for him, where all the wild beasts play. Under the lotus plants he lies, in the shelter of the reeds and in the marsh. For his shade the lotus trees cover him. The willows of the brook surround him. Behold, if the river is turbulent, he's not frightened. He's confident, though Jordan rushes against his mouth. Can one take him by his eyes or pierce his nose with a snare? Now again, Job is a contemporary of the patriarchs. Job lived in the days of men like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God is writing to Job about wild ostriches and wild lions and wild donkeys and things that he's familiar with. And he's also writing to Job about another creature he's very familiar with, behemoth. A great creature. I believe a dinosaur. Now modern scholars say this is an elephant. Or this is a hippopotamus. but I've yet to see an elephant with a tail like a cedar, or a hippo with one. But it reminds me of what we see in the fossil record, these huge four-footed dinosaurs, sauropods, brontosaurus, brachiosaurus, all these other sources that we've dug up. Here's one that Job was familiar with. And again, Job didn't naturally play around with behemoth. He didn't go fishing for the leviathans. But they were creatures that God had created. And so here we see God created animal life. He created them and classified them. And again, just like organic life on day three, the plants, just like the fish and the fowl on day five, all of this animal life was made after its kind and was to reproduce after its kind. Evolution, again, wants us to believe everything came from one little clump of accidental life. It all came from mutations over millions of years, molecules to everything that's in existence. But God's Word reveals God created life uniquely. He programmed it to reproduce after its kind. There are many variations within the species, but you've never will see, never will dig up a missing link, a transition between two species, because God created everything He created after its kind. There's many kinds of kind, but there's no changing from one kind to the other. Nature doesn't select anything. The power to adapt is within every living creature's DNA. It was created and placed by So God created all animal life on day six. But now in verses 26 through 30, God reveals He created human life on day six as well. And there's one significant difference that I want you to notice. On day six, He created all this animal life, all these kinds of cattle, and all these kinds of creeping things, and all these kinds of beasts of the earth. But when He created human life, He created one each. One man, one woman, male and female, created He them. Verse 27. We're getting the specifics of that now. We're studying Genesis chapter 2. We're going to see how God made a helpmate for Adam this Sunday. But when God created human life, He only created one pair. Now notice there's some statements that stand out in these verses as well. We see, "And God said." We see, "So God created." Then we see, "And God blessed them." Each of these calls attention to a unique aspect of God's creation of human life. And they hold for us the distinction between animal life and human life. Notice what God determined, what He did, and what He decreed when He created human life. Verse 26 tells us what God determined when He created human life. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the ground." Now we've already studied and looked at this conversation that God had with Himself. So I'm going to be very brief in what I share with you. We're looking at Elohim, the God who creates, the God who is more than one. The God who is so much more than one. The triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we see what He determined when He created human life. He determined at least two things in this verse. Look what it says. He first of all determined He would create man to relate to His Creator. That's what this "in His image" is all about. We've discussed it. God created man different from animals. We're created in the image of God. That reveals we have personality, personhood, the ability to relate, and more importantly, the unique ability spiritually to enter in and to have fellowship and a relationship with God. That's something no animal has. They don't have that ability. They don't have that knowledge. They don't have that desire. See, He created man to relate to His Creator. And He also determined this, that He would create man to rule over His creation. He said, "Let us create man in our own image, and let us give them dominion over the fowl and over the fish and over the animals, the cattle and the creeping things, and over all of the earth." He would place man, created in His image, as His steward, as His caretaker, as His guardian over everything and all the other living creatures that God had created. Nowhere do we see animal life exercising dominion over humans. Although I have witnessed some pets that manage their owners quite well. I witnessed the other day, this poor old man thought he was walking the dog, but the dog was walking him. God created man in His own image to rule over His creation. So not only do we see what God determined, notice what God did. Verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. There's that word, create. It's a different word, not the same word for made from something that already existed, but to create. To make something new, to make something very unique and different that had not previously existed. A new creation of God, one that's able to enter into fellowship and relationship with God. Now, the evolutionists, they simply say man is just the highest form of animals. He's just the highest level of animals. And there have been many scientists who've gone to great lengths to prove that. There was a man by the name of Dr. Haeckel who drew up some elaborate pictures and diagrams of the human embryo in different stages of its development. And he pointed out how each stage of an embryo's development in the womb coincides with a stage of evolutionary development. He pointed out, he drew pictures of embryos where there are gill-like slits on the embryo at a certain stage, where there's a tail-like feature on the embryo. And all of it just, he lays it all out. He laid it all out in these drawings. And the reason I know he did is because I remember looking at them in my textbooks when I was in school. And thinking, man, there may be something to this. That same man was accused of doctoring those diagrams, of making them appear different from what they actually do. He was accused and convicted of it, but yet you're still going to find those pictures in textbooks in schools. God created man uniquely and differently from the animals. We see the details in chapter 2. He made them male and female one each. And the next verse and verses tells us why. Why was it God only made one pair of humans when He made all these other pairs of animals and all these different kinds of animals? Verses 28 through 29, we see what God decreed when He made human life. What He determined, what He did, and what He decreed. Verse 28 through 30. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. Briefly, three things God decreed. Be fruitful, He said. He blessed them. And He told this one pair, this one male and this female, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. We've already talked about it. That's a King James English word. Today it means for us to refill, but in those days it means what the Hebrew words mean, fill. That was what God decreed. Don't you find it interesting that God created all these birds and all these fish and all these animals and all these pairs and all of these different kinds? It's almost like He just stocked the earth and then all they had to do was just restock it. But when He created the man and the woman, He told them, y'all be fruitful, multiply. Y'all got to stock the earth. Which or to help us have a clue, God's not against sex. He created it. There was a divine purpose, and it was more than just the pleasure of a man and woman. God just threw the good stuff in there to go along with it. He says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. He also decreed that they were to exercise dominion. How are they going to fill the earth? How are they going to subdue the earth? How are they going to exercise dominion over the earth? One man and one woman in the Garden of Eden. How are they going to do that? They got to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth that God had created for them. And He also decreed that they should enjoy it. I've created everything for you. And all these beautiful vegetables and all these fruits and all these trees, I've given you that for food. Eat it. Enjoy it. I've given you that. I've given the animals that for their food. Enjoy it. No struggle. No conflict. No fear here. Just enjoy life. Enjoy the blessings of God. Enjoy the sustenance, the food that I have created to maintain your life and to maintain the life of all of these living creatures. Yes, there were similarities between animal life and human life. They were made of the same thing. They were to eat the same thing. But there's a world of difference between the animals He made on day six man He created in His image, male and female. Verse 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God filled the land with life, animal life. And He created a man and a woman, the first like them, the only ones like them, human life created in His image. And as we close tonight, I just want to point out one main difference between us and animals is the ability that we have to ask questions. We have the ability to question our existence. In fact, every human being at some point in another will question his existence. Three questions that are common. Who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? They're questions every individual asks, wonders, sooner or later in their life. But I want you to notice what you believe about God's Word and His creation, or what you refuse to believe and what you believe about evolution in our existence, will determine how you answer those questions. Question one, who am I? Well, God's Word says, those who believe God's Word and what it says, God's Word says we are humans created in the image of God. But now evolution answers the question by saying we're just simply the highest form of animal life. Question two, where did I come from? Well, if you believe the Bible and God is our creator, then you believe that we came from the creative hand of God. But if you believe evolution, you believe evolution's answer is that we just came from a pool of slime. Third question, where am I going? If you believe the Bible and you believe what God says about our creation, then you believe we are created in God's image and likeness, and we are headed towards eternity. And there's only two destinations, heaven or hell. But now if you believe what evolution says, you believe that humans, we just simply die like dogs, and death is the end of our existence. So life is all about eating, drinking, and sleeping with whoever and whatever, whenever you want to, and being merry, because when death comes, we're done. What you believe not only determines how you answer the questions, it also determines how you behave and how you live your life. And unfortunately, today, most of America, most of our children are being taught to believe a lie. And therefore facing a Christless eternity apart from the gospel of the Lord Jesus. You know what God calls the church? The pillar of truth. We're the ones that stand for it, stand with it, proclaim it, and declare it. What you believe determines how you behave. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for creating us in your image and for your glorious love and grace revealed in not just our creation, but Lord, in our redemption. What you accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary, that we could be restored and reconciled to relationship and fellowship with a holy God. Lord, open the hearts and minds and eyes of so many of our friends and our family members and others that are blinded by the lies of the enemy. God, may your Spirit move upon their hearts like your Spirit moved upon the face of the waters in creation to bring them to conviction of sin and to saving faith in Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.